This is Steve Dale's Pet
Steve
World.
Steve Dale's Pet World.
Got an issue with Fido or Fluffy? Steve Dale is here to help.
What's up? That felt pretty good, right?
Steve Dale's Pet World.
Oh, okay.
Whether your feline is missing the litter box or your canine doesn't like the mailman, call the show toll-free.
She said toll-free.
At 866-554-PETS.
They've done studies, you know.
That's 866-554-7387.
60% of the time, it works. Every time.
The only thing that doesn't change is change itself, right? I mean, things are always changing. And they are in the world of pet food as well. And Purina is supporting that with their Innovation Awards. And we have an award winner on the show today. Also, Dr. Elizabeth Collarin will be here to talk about cat-friendly veterinary practices. I mean, why bother to go to someone who distinguishes themselves and you see that little logo and it says, I'm cat friendly. What does that mean and what difference does it really make to you or better to your cat? And I will have a suggestion that in all the years of doing this radio show, I don't believe I've ever made a suggestion quite like this. Who ought to win the Nobel Peace Prize? And why would the recommendation come from me on a pet show? Well, you'll understand why this person truly is being considered, and I absolutely support it, not that my support means anything, I don't think it does, for the Nobel Peace Prize. But why this person, and who am I talking about in the animal world that would be deserving of a World Peace Prize, which is what the Nobel Prize is, of course. Also, Valentine's Day is just around the corner. How does that have to do with our pets? Well, we are actually giving our companion animals Valentine's Day gifts. Does that make any sense? Do our animals care about that? Well, like most things, I do have an opinion about that. I will express that opinion as well as take your telephone calls, 866-554-PETS, toll-free, 866-554-7387. As a certified animal behavior consultant, I am standing right here to help you. In Florida, Colleen, welcome to the radio show. You're on the radio show. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to talk about or ask a question about my dog. He's probably about 12 or 13. He's a rescue. They told me he's a Yorkie Chihuahua mix. And he's been eating dirt.
Oh, no.
Like searching it out and chowing down on it. And I don't know, he's not always been like this, but within the last couple of years, and he went through one period where he was eating rocks.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So what did your veterinarian, what did your vet say about this?
Well, I mean, they didn't really say anything about his behavior. They, like with the rocks, put him on a real soft diet and helped him pass it. And then I was to the point where I was muzzling him just because he was just eating rocks.
Wow. Okay. So I'm concerned about a couple of different things. First of all, like your veterinarian, I would agree that eating rocks can be an issue, and it could cause an obstruction in your dog, which could mean surgery, and it can be life-threatening.
Right.
So, we definitely don't want that to happen for that reason, but I also wonder why it's happening. So it is curious to me as to why your veterinarian is also not thinking about that. I don't know if it is a nutrient that your dog is not getting or if this has somehow become a behavior problem that your dog is just doing. So what I would do for sure is always keep your dog on a leash when you take your dog out so your dog can't run over there and eat dirt. Does your dog eat the same dirt? This is a crazy question. I don't think I've ever asked this question on the radio. Is your dog eating the same dirt?
I'm sorry, say that again. Does my dog want dirt?
Is your dog eating the same dirt from the same place?
Well, we go to dog parks, so he finds dirt all over. I mean, he's a wanderer.
Okay, so I...
he just walks around finding dirt.
All right, I asked because I wondered if there's a nutrient or something in a specific dirt or soil in one specific place that your dog is most interested in. And apparently the answer may be no, which medically could mean that this is good news. I don't really know that. So, okay. Number one, I'd keep your dog on a leash so your dog can't be okay. the wanderer and wander off to do it. Secondly, what I would okay. do is I would reward your dog for paying attention to you. Either give a cue like, watch me, look at me, whatever your cue is.
Okay.
Start in the house where it's easy without distractions. And when your dog okay. focuses on you, offer your dog a very special treat. So say, watch me. Your dog looks up at you because you're holding the treat. So your dog's okay. going to look in that direction. And at your dog's height, you can hold it up. You don't have to hold it up at your face. And your dog will look up. And then give your dog okay. the treat. Do it different places okay. randomly around your house throughout the day, throughout okay. the night for about 10 days. When your dog's got it down, then take it outside. And if your dog is looking up at you on walks, then your dog is not digging and eating dirt or rocks. It's impossible to do if the dog's mouth is facing toward you eating treats rather than looking down. Now, having said that, that doesn't really solve our problem long term. What I want to do in the short term is just make it so your dog doesn't eat any more rocks, especially because even the dirt, it can cause an obstruction, which, as I said, can be a serious medical issue. And I want to avoid that from happening at all cost. But the other thing I want to do is enrich your dog's life and environment. Give your dog more things to do. So do let your dog off leash in the yard when you have, say, stuff a Kong toy or some other toy with some low-fat, low-salt peanut butter or something outside. Your dog sees that you've done it. You put it down way over there, and your dog runs to get it. So we're reteaching our dog what to eat outside, if you follow what I'm suggesting here.
Yes, I do. Yes.
So we want to give your dog something that's safe, but something your dog can chew on and get outside and make exciting for your dog somehow, some way. If it is behavioral, and I don't know that it is, I'm thinking it might be. Your dog has found it exciting and interesting to do this. And we've got to say, oh, no. Let's get out of that habit. I'm going to give you something more exciting, more interesting to do. If you follow sort of philosophically what I'm suggesting. But again, yeah. I'm assuming there's nothing medical going on and your dog is getting yeah. an appropriate diet. And that is between you and your veterinarian.
Yeah. And he's due for his shot. So being a senior, I'm definitely going to ask for a senior evaluation, and
sure.
then I will discuss that. So,
yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. She doesn't sound like a senior, I don't think. Our telephone number is 866-554-7387. It is toll-free, 866-554-PETS. Here's the thing. Our pets, and with Valentine's Day right around the corner, and I have some data on that I'll talk to you about in a bit, about how we are connecting with our pets more than ever before. So much so, we want to know what they're doing, whether they're ordering pizza or not, or maybe they're barking at the door. You can actually use the Blink camera system to not only help secure your home, which is a very good thing, but also to make sure your pets are secure. That is a very good thing. But to see what your pets are up to when you're not there. I get so many calls about dogs, sometimes cats, with separation distress. Well, you could show your veterinarian what's really going on, and your veterinarian can say, oh, no, your dog's just having a party. Your dog is just having fun when you're not there. Or your dog really is suffering some separation distress, all advantages of the Blink camera system. But it's also, as I said, about home security as much as anything else. The idea that you could check on your pets anytime, anywhere from your smartphone, so you know they're doing okay. It makes you feel good. Now, we don't want to do that too often at work because your boss might get mad at you, but that's another story. And with Blink, there are no contracts, no subscriptions, and Blink works with Alexa. Starting at just $99, Blink camera systems are always a smart choice for home or business. Visit blinkprotect.com/Steve. blinkprotect.com/Steve. blinkprotect.com/Steve.
He's dog's best friend, and cats, too. Welcome back to Steve Dale's Pet World.
So I understand this data I'm about to deliver to you is from a pet insurance company called Pet First, but still, I've read similar data before. This is just the data I happen to have in my hands at the moment. 71% of pet owners prefer, I'm talking about this because, you know, Valentine's Day is right here, prefer to snuggle with a pet rather than a human partner. This is, I've read this sort of thing before. The number's different. It might be 74, 78%, but it's the same idea. And when asked who they most likely want to snuggle with, most people said their pets. Usually it's a dog. Sometimes it's a cat. The puppy love is mutual. Almost 95% said their pets were more likely than their significant other to meet them at the door with a kiss. I don't know. Maybe that's why we have so many divorces of people and very few. Actually, people do give up their pets. So what do I know? I do know this. When I heard about this online petition to have Jane Goodall receive the Nobel Peace Prize, I said, yes, I'm all about it. And then I did some investigation. And some of the scientists on the Nobel Committee have said the same thing. Jane Goodall is the primatologist. Remember those National Geographic specials? If for somehow, some way you don't know who she is, those National Geographic specials on chimpanzees back in the day, she was the person out in the jungle with the chimpanzees watching and observing the chimpanzees. And one thing Jane Goodall taught us, we're more like the chimpanzees, or they're more like us, either which way, than we ever would have thought. And we can actually learn by their behavior how to modify our own behavior. So this brilliant woman wrote about that. She talked about that. She's written many books about chimpanzee behavior, about primates, but about us at times as well. And she talks about us. She became the ambassador of peace for the United Nations because she began to talk more and more about our planet, about not only chimpanzees, but other great apes and other animals on the planet. And before people were out there talking about global warming or climate change, Jane Goodall was out there talking about conservation. But yet, let's maintain the culture and the people who live in these places, various places, not only Africa, but other places around the world as well. And that's when the United Nations said, you know, we have a hero here talking. And I've had the opportunity, I've been very lucky, I've had the opportunity on several occasions to interview Dr. Goodall. Nobody liked that. I've never spoken to her. Quiet, benevolent manner is like no one I've ever spoken to. And historically, I believe people often who receive the Nobel Peace Prize are political figures. She's hardly a political figure. She just stands up for all of us and for all those creatures that we share the planet with as well. And if the planet isn't around, we're going to have a tough time being around, right? And she saw this was potentially happening many years ago and thought, okay, let's fix this. And let's fix this with children first, and began a program called Roots and Shoots through the Jane Goodall Foundation. I was honored to be, back in the day for the Chicago Tribune, the first person I think in the country to write about that program. An incredible woman, but I believe someone we're not listening enough to. So check out her videos. Listen to what she says. She's not saying it because she's a Democrat or a Republican. In fact, she's a citizen of the UK as well. It's not about politics. It's about doing better for all of us. All of us. All of us. The people that live in high-rises and New York City condominiums that are selling for $4 million, and people in Africa who are living in little huts that could blow away if a windstorm comes. All of us. She cares about all of us in a way that, I've never met a person like her. Really, if you don't believe me, if you haven't heard her speak, maybe, like me, you'll be mesmerized by every word she says. My concern is that we've got this wonderful person speaking these words, a Mahatma Gandhi type. Are we really listening? We need to. Coming up next, a conversation about a company called Shameless Pets. What is that all about?
He's not a vet, but he does smell like a dog. You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
I always wonder about that introduction. I don't know, it's kind of a compliment in a way. Dogs do like to sniff me, I don't know. Anyway, far more important than any of that, we have on the phone James Bellow, who's a finalist in Purina's Pet Care Innovation Prize. The event, I believe, was held right here, right where I am at in Chicago. Is that correct?
The event was actually down in their headquarters in St. Louis.
Okay. So, but there was something held in Chicago, I know.
There was a pre-event that was held that we were able to participate and meet with the Purina executives and Nine Square team in Chicago as well.
I thought so. Okay. So tell me about Shameless Pets. What is that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Shameless Pets, we make dog treats. They're all natural, grain-free, no corn, soy, anything artificial. But we actually make our dog treats with what's called upcycled ingredients.
All right. I have no idea. What is upcycled?
Yeah, absolutely. So upcycled ingredients means, so we go up the supply chain and work with farmers and food processors and retailers and take, let's think about it as misshapen or blemished or quote-unquote ugly food that would otherwise go to landfills. And we take that from them, buy that from them, saving that food from going to landfills and turn it into nutritious treats for dogs.
That's fascinating. Is that why you're shameless?
Yeah. So our backstory, so I was at home having dinner with my wife and three kids, and our little dog, Mina, who's a puggle, is food obsessed. And always looking to get food from the kids. So one day I took what's known as a pet shaming video and sent it to now is my co-founder, who got a big kick out of it. And she did the same. And then we said, hey, maybe we could do something with food waste. And then as we started thinking about a name, we were like, we started with pet shaming, but let's kind of reframe the shame and call it Shameless Pets.
That's crazy. And these are dog treats, right?
Yeah. So we have a line of five different flavors. All soft baked dog treats.
I'm afraid to ask what those flavors are. I don't know.
We have some fun, unique flavors. So we have some kind of interesting, quirky naming conventions. But so one of our flavors, our most popular so far, is called the Lobster Rollover.
And that is that literally lobster in there?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a perfect example around upcycled ingredients. So we work with lobstermen in the U.S., and as lobsters are harvested, the tails and claws are shucked for human consumption. So we purchase the rest of the lobster and take the meat from the lobster, and then we actually grind down the lobster shell, which is an awesome source of glucosamine for hip and joint health.
Really?
Yeah. So each one of our treats then also has a functional health benefit tied to the flavor.
Huh. Well, give me another example.
Yeah, we have another flavor called Apple Noon Delight. And within that treat, we work with farmers in upstate New York and buy their, like I was saying, blemished or imperfect apples that they throw away or send to landfill. And we clean them, take the core out, process them, and then put it into the treats.
Hmm. And what is that treat? You said each treat has an additional function. What's the function of that one?
Yeah, for that one, it's for their skin and coat health.
Now, this is really interesting. And the idea of using upcycled is something I had never even heard that term before. So not only, this is innovation, not only did you create an interesting dog treat, but in the process, you're doing it a way, I don't believe anyone's ever done this before. You haven't won the prize yet. You're not the champion yet, but I believe everyone is a winner, of course.
Same here. I believe the same. But we're a top five finalist, so that's good enough for us.
Well, congratulations on that. Circle back with us and let us know what happens. And
absolutely.
This is very interesting. If you are as fascinated as I am, where can people go to learn more?
So our website is shamelesspets.com, and we also sell on our website, or we're also available on Amazon.
Of course, everything's available. I think I'm available on Amazon. James, thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on.
So for all of you who want to know, which is all of you, you can find me on Facebook. I have a fan page, of course. Everyone, who's anyone, has a fan page. So I got to have one. I do. So you can simply go to Pages, if you haven't already done so, type in my name, Steve Dale, and a little caricature of me pops up and click like, and you like the page, and you can read all the latest pet news information, including information about pet food recalls. I'm one of the first to receive that information, and as soon as I do, I make sure that you hear about it. I'm also here to answer your questions. You can call me anytime, 866-554-PETS, 866-554-7387.
Welcome back to Steve Dale's Pet World.
It's the bumps that make you want to dance with your dog. That's those little musical interludes. Radio talk. Our telephone number, 866-554-PETS, 866-554-PETS. In Illinois, Michael, what's your question?
I have two kittens, a male and a female, and they're about 11 weeks old. And my question is, can you overfeed them?
Sure.
Because they just seem to eat and eat.
Yeah, you could. Yeah. Where did you get the kittens from? Tell me the little bit of background here.
It's we're down in farm territory, and a neighbor of mine just had a litter of kittens, so we just grabbed two of them. I think they were 6-7 weeks old when we got them.
Wow. Okay,
and they are full of energy, and so I was just curious how much you should actually feed them.
I understand. What are you feeding them?
It's a dry cat food, Whiskas, I think is the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it, and water.
Okay, yeah, okay. How much does it say? Whatever it says on the package, do that. If they still seem ravenous, add a little bit more. The other thing is that, are you free-feeding them or feeding them at specific times?
Well, my job has me in and out of the house at different times, so it's not any set schedule or anything.
Let me rephrase the question. Do you leave out food all the time, or do you feed them?
Yes, I pretty much leave food out
okay,
all the time.
Okay, so here's the downside to that. You know, we think that cats will self-regulate themselves. And what I'm about to say is true for kittens as well as 15-year-old cats. It really doesn't matter. That they will self-regulate themselves, and when they're full, they'll stop. And while that's true for a percent of cats, it's not the majority. The majority will keep eating. And the problem when you have more than one and you have two kittens is that you have no way to know how much each cat is getting.
Okay.
Because you're leaving out the food all the time. And they may be starting the process of training you, give me more, give me more, give me more. And you're going to end up with two little beach balls, which is not healthy for them.
Right, right.
And it's going to cost you more in cat food. So what I would do is I would see how much you're supposed to be feeding them. Give them, actually, on the package, it usually says a little more than is necessary, you know, and make sure they're healthy. You know, first off, and I should have started here. If you haven't gone to the veterinarian, do that. And you have a wonderful opportunity because these cats are so young. Sometimes cats learn that veterinary offices and the carrier to get them there are just awful. And you have an opportunity to really train them to have a good time, first of all, to be carrier trained. Which is that categorical care publication we're going to send you has instructions about how to do that. But nothing is a bad experience at this point in their lives. They haven't had any experiences. So make that first experience a good one. And that's so easy to do. When you get to the vet office, give them treats. Leave out the carrier or whatever you're going to take them to the vet office in days before that appointment and just feed them out of there. It becomes a food dispensing box. And that's a good thing if you happen to be a kitten. So make everything positive. I mean, this is a huge opportunity for you in general to socialize these young kittens because they're so young. Have them checked out by the veterinarian. And this ties in directly to your question because I want to make sure that there are no worms, that there are and that there are no other parasites, which may play potentially into how hungry they may be. So that's the first thing. Secondly, ask your veterinarian about his or her experiences with diet. We all have our favorite foods that we like, and premium foods sometimes might be, you know, it's what you pay for. And I don't, listen, if your cats are doing or kittens are doing great on whatever brand you throw at me, that's fine. But if you get the gist of what I'm saying, it may not be my first choice. And that might be playing into this too. But again, lots of cats do great and dogs on any diet, you name the diet. Your generic food can work, you know? So that's another thing. On the package, whatever is denoted there for how much you're going to feed, sometimes it's a little more than what you really need. So if you're going over that amount, that's sort of a red flag if the cats are still that hungry, or kittens are that hungry. The other thing is kittens, even at the young age you got them, may have learned, I'm going to scarf down whatever I can when it's there. Because that's how they live. You know, they may have already learned that from their mom. It's amazing when they are young how much, and the younger kittens are, the more they learn. So it may be, the if the opportunity exists, because that's the only way in a barn or out in a field, and that's where you got these kittens from, that they're going to survive. So that's how their mom survived. So if there are 10 mice around, they're going to grab those 10 because they may not eat again for 2 more weeks. Or, well, not 2 weeks, but for some time.
No, I understand what you're saying. Okay.
But the most important opinion you can get is your veterinarian's. So take the kittens to the vet and ask your vet. Our phone number, 866-554-PETS, 866-554-7387. Jan in Nevada, you are on the radio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. One of my biggest problems is that I have two mini schnauzers. And
well, I hope that's not the problem.
No, it's their barking that is the problem. They have horrible. We've tried everything. They're 7 and 8 years old.
What have you tried to do?
Well, we've tried the shaking in the cans. We've tried spraying their faces as water. We've tried the bark collar. We've tried.
Oh no, the one that's citronella, not a shock collar. I hope.
A what?
The one that's citronella, not one that shocks the dogs, I hope?
Yeah, yeah.
Which one?
Oh, gosh, I don't remember the name of it.
Well, I hope it's not one that gives them an electronic shock.
Oh, no. Okay. No, it just you know, gives them a little bit of a shock, but...
Oh.
But it didn't work anyway.
Yeah, well, that's my... You know, don't use these collars.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. All right, so here's part of the thing. Explain, because part of my answer is going to be, well, you have miniature schnauzers.
Uh-huh.
Because they do bark.
Okay.
And when one starts to talk, the other one will too.
Right.
It's guaranteed or your money back.
Right.
So that's part of what, if not completely, what's going on. I mean, it might be your expectations might not be appropriate for miniature schnauzers.
Oh, okay.
You know? I mean, do you live in an apartment? Is it a problem?
No, it's a home.
All right. So you don't have neighbors complaining, people picketing your house or anything?
No, we don't have that. It's just that when guests come in, and they just have to bark and bark and bark and bark, and you can't even talk over them.
Okay, so
know?
I wonder if they're barking like that, that might be fear.
Oh?
Are they not so thrilled about these guests or cautious about them?
I don't believe so. They're mostly relatives that have been here time and time and time again.
Well, if they're anything like my relatives. No, but that's not what I meant. I
hope they're not listening.
Are they okay with other people as other people come in the house? Are they kind of standoffish or cautious?
No, they're not that at all. They run right to them and then just bark and bark and bark.
All right.
And standoffishness about them at all.
And what do the people do when they bark and bark and bark?
Well, some of them stand there and look at them because they're afraid to move. And others say, or say, don't bark, or whatever. You know?
Yeah, you know, I would bring in a dog trainer on this because here's what I wonder. I wonder if the barking is for attention, and dogs will do things for attention, and it's like going to, well, you're in Nevada. Are you in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Then you will totally get this. It's like the person that goes to the slot machine and then goes back and goes back and goes back because maybe he saw the person down there win once.
Uh-huh.
And it's called intermittent reinforcement, which is the best kind of reinforcement. So if the dog once, even when the dog was a puppy, was reinforced in some way for that barking by the person who came in the house, whoever that was, then the dog's going to believe it or not, remember that, and then maybe even 3 months later be reinforced. Oh, my gosh, I remember that. Then maybe 2 months later be reinforced. It doesn't have to be reinforced every time. And the reinforcement could be laughter.
Uh-huh.
The reinforcement could be extra attention. Look, he's talking to me. Ha, ha, ha.
Okay.
So that could be what's going on. So I would tell the people to ignore the dogs completely. But I also wonder if the dogs... You say they're not afraid and aren't concerned about these people, they're frequent visitors.
No.
But I wonder if that's the case. I don't know. And one of the reasons for physically a dog going woof, 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 but backing off and going woof, woof, woof and backing off, tail between the legs, or wagging back and forth.
Uh-huh.
Wagging back and forth, by the way, means excitement. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm happy to see you.
Right.
If it's doing any of those, and depending on the body posture, I mean the ear position and all sorts of things I would look at, I would wonder, and probably these dogs are happy to see people, but I don't know that.
Yeah.
And that might explain what this barking is too. So what I would do is I would bring in a dog behavior consultant or a dog trainer who can assess the situation just simply by saying, aha, now I see. Because when the dog trainer walks in, the dog trainer is going to be barked at, right?
Sure.
And on the phone, you say, well, this is what I want to know in advance. Dog trainer walks in the house, and aha, this is what's going on. Well, Jan, I know I didn't help you perfectly, but I hope I at least sent you in the right direction. When do you want to spot that burglar? When he's casing your home or after he's in? Ask John, whose Blink camera alerted him to burglars trying to break in while he and his family were home. Or Shannon, whose Blink camera caught a thief stealing packages. Both times, Blink video clips were sent to the police to help convict the crooks. Blink Motion activated indoor and outdoor cameras are wire-free, set up in minutes, and run on two AA batteries that last up to 2 years. And if you're traveling, Blink's live feed option lets you monitor your home and check in on the pets from anywhere using the Blink smartphone app. No contracts, no subscriptions, totally affordable. And Blink works with Alexa. Blink camera systems make great gifts, and they're a brilliant way to monitor your package deliveries. Visit BlinkProtect.com/Steve. 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 Blink is an Amazon company. There's a new flu called canine influenza, threatening the health of dogs, and it's been confirmed in many places. Now, this is different than the swine flu, and humans can't get it. But canine flu is highly contagious and easily spread. That means virtually every dog exposed will catch it. Like human flu, the majority of dogs do recover, but in some cases it can be fatal. Fortunately, there's a new vaccine that can protect your dog. Contact your veterinarian or visit doginfluenza.com to learn more.
The only radio show for the whole family that often advises using toys with feathers.
I miss my little kitty cat.
Welcome back to Steve Dale's Pet World.
Well, there's the Westminster Dog Show that I was lucky enough to attend. I'm always honored to go to Westminster. Some years I can make it, some years I can't. This year I made it. Then there's the, we're a part of this, the National Dog Show presented by Purina, the Beverly Hills Dog Show presented by Purina. But where are cat shows and all of that? Well, next week we're finally doing it. We're talking about cat shows as we're celebrating Cat Health Month, also with Dr. Valerie Tynes. And I have some comments about training shelter dogs. So there are people all over America that happily rescue dogs deemed aggressive from animal shelters. That trainer is this dog's last hope. Well, how do we train those dogs? That should matter. Just getting it done is no longer an excuse in my world. I will talk about my point of view about all of that next week on this show.
The Pet Health Minute, brought to you by the maker of NexGard, a fox alarmer.
Cold weather may stop ticks, but don't count on them stopping for long, and we should not stop giving our dogs their monthly protection. It only takes a day or so of warm weather to get the ticks moving again, according to Dr. Thomas Mather of the Tick Encounter Resource Center.
A lot of people like to stop for some reason. If you don't see a tick for a few days or a week, they think tick season is over. I watched the Super Bowl. It was 2 degrees in Minnesota. We got a tick the next day from somebody. They had it on their butt cheek, they said. And it had to be cold in Minnesota. So where did that tick come from? So they're out there.
Well, that got a little personal. But now you know the ticks are out there. But that doesn't mean your dog has to be their next meal. Speak with your veterinarian about an appropriate tick control product for your dog. That's today's Pet Health Minute.
Protect your dog with the vet's number one choice, NexGard, a fox alarmer. Reported side effects include vomiting, itching, diarrhea, lethargy, and lack of appetite. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures. See your veterinarian, visit NexGardForDogs.com or call 888-637-4251 for full prescribing information.
Three simple words.
You got mail.
Woohoo!
You can always email your questions to steve@petworldradio.net.
Dear Steve, my meal times are now noisier because my 6-year-old terrier barks at his food. I'm never in the kitchen when he does this. When I come back in the kitchen, Rusty just looks at me. Then he goes back to eating. It's a game. What should I do? Well, my answer from Penny in Washington State, stop playing the game. It turns out that I think that your dog has trained you. So you need some tough love here. So I would ignore the barking, and it's like a crying baby. Here's what'll happen. You'll either give in or you won't. And if you won't, the barking will get worse and worse until finally your dog does stop barking. Technically, scientifically, it's called extinction. So that's how it goes. And that's how it goes with babies too, right? Their crying becomes a wailing sound because you're ignoring it. And then eventually it really does stop. And it's the same thing with that barking dog, unless there's a reason here that I'm missing. But it seems as though your dog simply wants your attention. So when you're there, I mean, hey, you like to eat. Some dogs don't like to eat alone, I guess. Some people don't like to eat alone. Some people prefer to eat alone. Some dogs prefer to eat alone. And I think all that's going on is your dog is saying, I love you. I want your company. You can email your questions to Steve at stevedale.tv. Coming up next, a conversation with Dr. Elizabeth Colloran about what are called cat-friendly veterinary practices.
Officially sanctioned by the American Veterinary Medical Association.
This is Vets on Pets.
That's where Steve talks to the vets about your pets.
Don't worry, this won't hurt a bit.
I am a huge fan of cat-friendly veterinary practices. And here to explain what they are all about, I am also a huge fan of Dr. Elizabeth Colloran. So you see the logo, cat-friendly practice. What does that mean?
It means the practice has decided in their hearts that it's really important to change the experience that cats and their owners have in the veterinary setting, because we need to get cats good health care. And if the experience is better, they'll be willing to get it.
And in fact, it turns out, so cat-friendly practices have been around now for a couple of years. I don't know, I'm sure you do, the exact number of practices that are out there doing this. And you've surveyed those practices and you've asked, does it make a difference to your clients, people who have cats, cat caretakers? It turns out the answer isn't yes. The answer is yes, with like five explanation marks after it.
It is, and 99% satisfaction rate for a survey is really extraordinary. And you can imagine that people who fill out surveys, there's only two types, the people that love you and the people that hate you. And so the other people don't have enough time for that. So it's a really important number. There are over 1,100 practices around North America. And in all of them, they're seeing a better experience, meaning better health care for cats.
But if it's a better health care, if it's a better experience for cats, I'd argue it's a better experience for the cat caretakers, because if the person who has a cat goes into the veterinary clinic and perceives that the cat emotionally is unhappy, they're less likely to come back. So not only is that individual visit better, but it's better for the cats, because cats benefit by seeing the veterinarian. And one reason, the biggest reason why people don't go, there are lots of reasons, but the biggest reason of all is that the cat doesn't like to go, and I could barely get the cat there, first of all. And then when the cat is there, the cat hates it.
Well, and the other piece of the value, really, is if the experience isn't a highly emotional one, we veterinarians and our support staff get to do some real education. We can teach people how to better care for their cats at home. If it's not a highly emotional experience, we can have a real conversation.
Yeah, so the cats are benefiting, the cat owners are benefiting, because emotional health has become really important to people, and I think people are paying more attention that it matters just as much, and it's interchangeable, really, with physical medical health.
It is, and that's true in cats, too. There are stress-related diseases that we see all the time in people. We see that in cats, too, if we pay attention to it. So we know that there are stress-related diseases. And in cats, because the stress experience is actually accelerates over time, so it becomes worse and worse as the sort of negative experiences from the car and the carrier and the stranger touching you, those things all add up to a really a high state of arousal, and that stress experience can't be good for anybody.
And cat-friendly practices are also about things that are sort of behind the scenes that we as cat caretakers, people who bring their cats to the veterinarian, wouldn't necessarily immediately notice or even know about, but they are happening.
They are, and some of the small things that are so important, for example, we don't talk in loud voices because cats have a really powerful sense of hearing. And so if we keep our voices down and we don't have birthday parties or where the cats are and those kinds of things, we can keep that arousal under control.
Yeah, and also offering the cat a gift for coming in, which might be tuna or a salmon or something like that.
We always have treats in the room. And the other part of it is that we let the cats become acclimated to the room. So we let them walk around and check everything out and make sure that they start to feel a little bit safer.
Yeah. For more information about all of this, it is catfriendly.com. Catfriendly.com. Did I do that wrong?
No, that's right.
Oh, so let me do it again. You had the look on your face. Sorry.
No, that's just my face.
For more information about all of this, in fact, there are lots of handouts with specific information on all sorts of different topics that will help you. It is catfriendly.com. Those handouts are written by Dr. Elizabeth Colleran, the veterinarian such as yourself.
Our team makes sure that they're all veterinary approved.
Yep, all veterinary approved and cat friendly as well. Thank you, Dr. Colleran. You know, we so often talk about dog shows, but next week, and Dr. Colleran, you will be happy to learn this, we are talking about cat shows. It is also Cat Health Month. We'll be talking to Dr. Valerie Tynes about that.
This is a Ricky Ricardo production.
Be good to your pets. They will be good to you. We'll talk to you next time.
We're always standing by to take your call at 866-554-PETS or email steve@petworldradio.net.